Oh, it's on. Don't hum, David. It's a good songs this morning, weren't they? How great is our God. Sometimes you sing that one real loud, and this morning it was just coming out as a whisper. It's like sometimes it's hard to sing. I don't know, just how to explain that. As you probably are aware, the elders are purposing to go through our statement of faith here at Cornerstone. My goodness, David, you're in the wrong church. At Grace Bible Chapel, and so that's part of it. The subject this morning is the church. And just before I get started, just the church is what by definition? I'll tell you what it's not. The church is not four walls. The church is not this building. The church is, well, you're looking at them. And if you look in the mirror, you're looking at the church. The church is comprised of people. That's what the church is. Someday this building will be gone, but the church will live on. Do you have those pictures up there, Robert? I'm getting close, maybe. So I got some other things. I'm actually surprised that I'm here today because earlier this week, Kim phones me. And the conversation went something like this. What do I do? And in the background is, you know, when you set off the alarm in the car, right? And she was very, very frustrated, okay? I can't get it to shut off. What do I do? And I'm like, I don't know what to do. It's like, I'm so embarrassed, and everyone's looking at me, and she was dying, and so I fire up the tow truck, and I'm unhooking the car that's on it, and I go up to the house, I'll get the other set of keys, right? Just in case there's something wrong with the key fob or whatnot, eh? So I'm scouring around the house trying to find the key fob, and so I phoned Kim back, and I said, where's the other set of keys? It's still going all this time, right? Now she's even closer to death now. This is terrible. It's the end of the world. It's like, honey, where are the other keys? And as those words come out of my mouth, I'm like, oh, can you look in the back seat of the car? I think my jacket's in there. And she tried to lock the car with another set of, don't do this, ladies, with the other set of keys in the car. And you can't do that, I guess. So, and she got it. Here's the maddening thing. She got it shut off, like in the car. But then as soon as she opened the door, it started again. So I thought for sure that my life was going to end. But anyways, the Lord is merciful. And so that's just a little adventure that happened this week, among other things. So it's been an interesting week to say the least. Subject this morning is church. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the church true, the church universal, the church that your Son is the head of. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit, and I would pray, Father, that he would be free to move within our hearts this morning, and I would pray just now, and this is for myself, but anyone else as well, if the shoe fits, put it on. If there's stuff in the way, if there's stuff that would impede our hearing this morning, that would impede our listening, our attentiveness to your word, those things that at the end of the day that really don't matter, that have no bearing on eternity, Father, can we have a clean slate this morning? Would you cleanse us just now? Would your Holy Spirit be free to move within us and without in this people, I pray, myself included? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's like you. It does not change. It's secure. It's foundational. Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through your Son, through the Scriptures. I pray that you would speak this morning through me. Use me, I pray. And the end result, I pray that a closer drawing to you, I pray. A realization that, hey, some decisions, some concrete decisions might be made today. Thus says the Lord, and I will go in this way. Father, I praise you and thank you for opportunity. And again, that your name would be high and lifted up. And it wouldn't be so much, you know, what Dave said, but what the Lord said through him. So I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. I got some pictures of some churches here. Maybe could you turn off those lights so it's a little bit brighter? This here is, these lights here. Those are the ones. That little church, and it's very small. You can get some perspective there by there you go. Thanks, guys. Is on Highway 620, back the other side, be west of Coe Hill, on the north side of the road. And we stopped in. I stopped in there about, 10 years ago, maybe I stopped in there. And at the time, you could go in there and spend some quiet time. Now, this time when I stopped in there, the door was locked. But that doesn't stop Dave from doing things, so I had me sharp knife with me, so we got in. But you'll never guess what's inside. The roof's been leaking. The part of the ceiling has fallen down, and it's all musty in there. I guess that's why they have it locked up. It's not being used anymore. It's not being maintained. Just flip through the pictures of the churches I have there. There should be another one. This one here, look at this one. This one is, I was going to look on the map. This summer I went down to Thunder Bay, and we took one long way around. And this is really interesting church. It's sitting out on a peninsula, and it's surrounded by water, like on three sides. And the next picture is the same picture of the same church. Isn't that cool? And sometimes I think to myself, I still have this trouble, like being a Christian at times. True confession. I used to really, you're not going to believe this, something that I used to do before I got saved that I cannot do anymore, but I still fight the urge, is to splash people with puddles with the truck in the car. Especially with the truck, you can really souse people. Oh, isn't that awful? It's just, I used to delight in doing that, but I can't do that anymore. But I was contemplating if I could swipe the bell out of this place. It's huge. It's still in there. You can't see it in the picture, but there's this big bell up in there, up in the tower. So there it sits. There's another one. Another picture, the next one. There's another church there, another abandoned church. And that one there is on the, there's a loop that goes like from Plevna. Is it the four? I can't remember the name of the highway, but it loops up around there. It's been some time since I've been there. And I think it's still there as far as I know. But there's another abandoned church. It's like, and we work in Madoc Township a bit, and there's just some plaques here and there on the side roads. It'll say such and such a church. It was tore down like in 1962. You know, it's all that's there. Or often you drive on these back roads and you'll see a cemetery, and you'll see like a set of steps that go nowhere because the building is gone. So, and so we're talking about the church this morning. And that one particular picture of the one out on the peninsula there where the sheeting's missing off the roof, and it's obviously dilapidated. That one there, look at it. This is one of the paramount things about attending church is it's thought-provoking, and God's Word is like that. Like, and please do not tell me that you're going to do it at home, because I know myself. And it's like, if you purpose it, oh, I'm going to do it at home. Okay, well, maybe you are. Maybe you're going to take an hour and do your Bible study and whatnot, but it is not the same as the corporate gathering of God's people. And we're called to do that. We're called to gather together. So just last week, Adam was on. He was speaking, and the particular scripture that we were in, he was talking about Samuel. And it's just, and again, thought-provoking. This is how God's Word works. Interestingly enough, he still uses men like me, which is unbelievable, to bring it forward. So this is an amazing thing to me anyways. So Adam's talking about Samuel and talking about when he went to anoint King David, though he didn't know it at the time, for he sent him in blind, so to speak. And so this is a thing that I like to think about. As I look at Samuel, by way of example, and he's right up there in my estimation of God's man, he didn't tell Samuel who he was to, who it was going to be, which one of the brothers. Didn't tell him, so he went in there blind, so to speak. And when he's seen, it was Eliab, the oldest one. And what he say to himself, he says, oh. He says, surely the Lord's anointed stands before me. And almost as instantly as that thought went through his head, another thought come. Or perhaps even an audible voice. I'm not sure. But it went like this. Do not consider his stature nor his height, for I, the Lord, have rejected him. For what the Lord looks on the inward man, on the heart, man, us, we look on the outward. And as we look at this morning, this building, if this, and again, it's not about four walls, because the church is made up, is comprised of people. But if you will, the physical, as God looks on this church, and don't take this personally, but as God looks on my heart this morning, is it like that building? Is it dilapidated? Is it in need of repair? Is it empty? Has it become a house of what, bats? And if we were able to zoom in, the chimney to the right-hand side, there's a seagull sitting up there. See him up there on the right-hand side, way up? Boy, those guys are efficient in that, in the computer department. There's a seagull sitting up there. He has no business being there. And who knows what's inside? I didn't venture in the building, but there's probably bats and everything else. So at one time, this house of praise is sitting vacant, forlorn, abandoned, forsaken. So let's get into the word this morning. That's what it's all about. We're in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in at verse 19. Therefore, brothers. So who are we talking to? We're talking to members of the church, right? So therefore, brothers. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. So we're talking about this a bit this morning. We were talking about the veil and how that in the Old Testament, in the old way of doing things, if you will, there was this veil that separated. And an interesting thing is when we think about the veil, we think about when Jesus Christ gave up his spirit, when he willingly gave up his spirit, I might point out, that veil was torn, where from top to bottom, indicating that the tearing, if you will, was done by God, not by human hands. And so we have this notion, this picture that somehow that veil was removed, it's gone, it's rended, it's set aside, and no longer is the way it is, which to an extent is true, but through my studies this week, it just hit me. You ever read in God's Word and something hits you like a ton of bricks? I love it when that happens. I just read along and say, whoa. Okay, so we got to take this apart. We got to look at this here a little more closely and how we tie this all in with church. So, we have confidence to enter the most holy place. Okay, so that's by word. I mean, because we're not there physically. See, I can pray. I can pray to my Creator. That's quite a statement when you stop and think it through. Because, I mean, really, who am I? And for that matter, who are you? We're talking about the maker, the creator of the universe. I, by prayer, can enter. Me! I can enter into his presence. Oh, what privilege the church has. The church comprised of individuals. By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. Okay, so that's not new in the sense that, like, it's brand new. It's not that kind of new. It's a kind of new, if you will, think of a novelty, something, I'll use a painting for an example. I happen to like oil paintings, but true confession, and I don't know what it is in your life, but you know, you buy whatever. And at the first, tell me, look at that, eh? It's like, oh, this is really cool, and it's satisfying, it's good to cast your eyes upon. But what happens after a period of time? It gets kind of shoved back to the corner, right? And that thing that you so coveted and whatnot, well, it kind of ends up in the yard sale or whatever, right? Or when you pass away, it's like it gets thrown out or that sort of thing. So, but this kind of new is something that never loses its luster, something that's always fresh, something that you can look on every day and that you never get tired of it. And that's the newness that it's talking about, because we're talking about a live thing here. See, those sacrifices in the Old Testament, they're almost no good from the end of their life, if you will, because they were a living thing, and then they died, and they never did cover, but they were appointing to what's to come ahead. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the church. We're talking about Jesus Christ. through the curtain, which is his body. So again, we have this picture, this very vivid picture. So listen. So this is the thing that hit me like a ton of bricks. This veil that was torn, that was ripped, that's now aside. See, we always think of that as a covering, and actually Jerry alluded to this morning. It's just kind of neat how things, confirmational things in my spirit. We think of, or at least I do anyways, I picture that curtain, that veil, as blocking. See, it's blocking. But think of it the other way, in that the thing that blocked is also the access to. See, there was only one way in. And it was through the very thing that blocked. It was through the veil. That was the way in. So, and I think about how God does not change. He's the same straight all the way through. Oh, that we had that attribute, that we would stay the same. But in that God hasn't changed, really and truly, the veil is not gone. It's still there in the respect of the person of Jesus Christ. Think this through. You see, we access the Father through the Son, through the veil. No man comes to the Father but by the Son. Nothing has changed. The veil is still there. And that curtain, that veil that denied entry in the Old Testament times, Jesus Christ is the way and the way only, period. No matter what religion may tell you, he is the only way. And he also bars the way. No one comes to the Father but through the Son. And that's who I am this morning. I'm a son of the King. And I, through Christ, and I'm part of the church. And this is an amazing thing. So, and since we have a great priest over the house of God. Oh, there we go, house of God. We're talking about church. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled and to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. So this is this whole idea in Ezekiel's day. Actually, it's a very interesting where when Christ was in conversation with Nicodemus, and they're conversing back and forth, and Nicodemus is just not getting it, and incidentally, neither would you or I. And Christ has this expectation of Nicodemus that he ought to know what he's talking about. Because back in Ezekiel, he says that there's going to be have a new heart, that's going to be cleansed, that's going to be sprinkled, that's going to be cleansed. And this whole idea of being washed by the Word, as we come into his presence, and again, the church isn't four walls, but as we cross the threshold out there, as we're coming into the place of worship, and you know what? And again, this is four walls. If this place shuts down and gets sold, well, it gets used for whatever. And you see that with churches all the time. It's not the building. However, when we're using it for a place of worship, it's as though in Moses' day he was standing on holy ground. And it's as holy as you or me want to make it. It really is. Because again, it's just four walls. So when I step over the threshold out there, I got to get things right with him. He wants my heart sprinkled. And again, he looks on the inward. We look on the outward. What's my spiritual condition really? Is it more reflective of that building? Or is it neat and tidy and well-maintained? Spiritually speaking, it's winter. Where does the frost go down deepest? The frost goes down deepest on the traveled road. Because it's packed down. The cold drives the frost down. But where the ground is, where it's swampy, or where there's snow cover, it doesn't go down as far, sometimes not even at all if it's insulated. Like in the swamp, it never really freezes. But on that packed ground. So how's it sinking in? Like, I mean, with you and with me. How's the Word sinking in? Is it hard? Is it a hard ground? I mean, hard from the study. Are you studying hard? Are you following hard after God? I'm asking you these questions, but I'm really asking them of myself. Can this Word, can this Holy Spirit, can it penetrate down into us? Because there's a good, solid, foundational road there that as frost, as it can sink in, can it? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we possess.
Okay, so not to the right or the left. Let's keep going straight. And I find it so interesting that his word is, it's a light what? Unto our, someone finish it off. It's a light unto our feet. It's a light unto our feet. And as we walk along, God doesn't show us. We always want to know what's coming tomorrow. And we do away with today because we're so worried about tomorrow. And when really today is all that we have. All we have is right now. That's all we have right now. So his word is a light unto our feet. As we walk along, if we stay in it, he'll guide us. So don't worry about on down the road. He's showing us right what's right in front of our feet, the path that's right in front of our feet. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may, and this is where we're getting down to foundational things. This is what church is all about. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. See, you can't do that at home. I mean, you can do it at home. You can pray. You can pick up the phone. But there's nothing like getting together with God's people. That's how we spur one another on. And listen, if you're not spurred or getting spurred, well, why not? Why aren't you taking the time? Why am I not taking the time? Why am I not engaging with you? Why don't I know anything about you? Why am I a little fuzzy on your name? Well, it's my fault, not yours. And it's your fault, not mine. We're called to be within God's people. Like, how are we supposed to know if we don't know? If we don't take the time? And it just comes down to that. And it's glaringly obvious that we shirk away. We don't, it's like, it's not the way it's supposed to be. Let us not give up meeting together. In the King James, that word forsaken shows up. And it's that idea of abandonment, like abandoning things. What happens when the church becomes abandoned? Look at that building. I don't know if you like old buildings or not. I do, and I love looking through them, and I appreciate architecture, and it grieves me. And I know it's just worldly things, and they'll all pass away. But when I see something that's been constructed like that, and you think, I don't know how old that building is, 100 years plus, I bet. And the methods that they use to construct buildings like that, and look at the steeple on it. That's a big steeple. They didn't have cranes back then. How'd they get that cross up there? Yeah, that's quite an engineering feat, that church, and there it sits. There it sits, not being used. So let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together. Don't forsake it. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Okay, so this is out of the gate, right? This is the book of Hebrews. This is shortly after. Out of the gate, this problem is this. See, some aren't coming. Some were coming. We know who they are. But he's not here now. He's not coming to church. So if this problem was there then, well, it's surprise, surprise. No, it's not a surprise. It's still a problem today. It was a problem then right out of the gate. There's people here that would have seen Christ, and they're not coming to church. And again, I'm not talking about church four walls. Make your heart, it's a heart thing. It's an issue. It always comes down to an issue of the heart. Because if I'm coming here for all the wrong reasons, if I'm just showing up here so that you can see me, or that I'm somehow, I come this Sunday and this Sunday, if that's the premises for my attendance at church, well, it don't matter who anyways. It just doesn't. Not before the Lord, because he always looks upon the heart. Does anyone here know what a Georgia overdrive is? I didn't think so, because I didn't know either. Okay, who's got a good memory here? One volunteer. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I just need a volunteer with a good memory. I know it's not you, Adam. You have a terrible memory. Somebody help me out. Randy? Randy, you got your eyes closed, buddy. Sorry, I'm going to pick on you. At the end here, when I'm done. So you got to keep awake now, buddy. When I'm done, I need you to remind me to tell people what a Georgia overdrive is. Because if I don't, they'll die of curiosity. And I'll hold you solely responsible. A Georgia overdrive. You got that? Overdrive. You got it. So, you're giving away hints. Okay, so we got to find out what a Georgia overdrive is. I'm going to keep Randy focused here on that. Okay. Let us encourage one another. And again, you can't do this at home. It's not a party of one. It's plural. It's us. And all the more as you see the day approaching. What are you talking about? What's the day? Okay, what's the first thing that comes to mind
as you see the day approaching, what's in your mind right now? That's what's in your mind. Thank you, Randy. Do you know what's in mind? What's in my mind about the day? Incidentally, I'm not sure what the day is. The day might be in reference to when the temple is being torn down, the four walls are going down, religion's going down. That might be the day that they're talking about here. You need to get out from that. And the Hebrews is to, Hebrew by definition is, oh, I got to jot down, I was going to memorize that. It's separating. It's a crossed over. That's it. Hebrews, the word Hebrew means a crossover. Abram was called a Hebrew because he crossed the Euphrates. The children of, they were called the Hebrew children. Why? Because they crossed the Red Sea. It's, Hebrew means crossing over. See, things are going to change. You're going to have to cross over. Get away from religion into relationship. So whatever day is in your mind, for me, Randy shared his day, the day of the Lord. So in perspective of what we're talking about this morning, the day of the Lord. For me, it's my death date. Because I got one. That's the day that comes to mind when I read this. Because on my death day, I'm going to stand before my Maker. Absent from the body, those in Christ, present with the Lord. And further to that, the judgment seat of Christ further on. See, I got all this stuff. And I don't mean stuff in a, I don't mean in a worldly sense. I got these things that I want to do, that I want to engage in, ministry things that I want to get, that I want to get the wheels turning. And I pray and I wonder when things, because there's certain things that have to happen before I can do that, and I live on the edge of expectation. But in the meantime, I don't want to croak. I don't want to die because I feel that the Lord has this calling, this thing lined up for me to do. Fortunately, last week, Adam finished 10 minutes early, and so I asked him if he could have his 10 minutes, so we're good, don't worry. So, let's flip over to, everybody said amen. Oh, no, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, there's a little bit in there, go left. Ephesians 4, 12 and 13. So, and if you're one of these folks that needs to hear, well, like, I mean, okay, this is all well and good. Well, what's in it for me? Oh, no, we'd never think that, would we? I would. But anyway, so true confession. So let's read a little bit more, and then let's read a little bit about what's in it for me. But we're not looking at it from that perspective. I'm not that selfish, am I? No. Okay, so Ephesians 4, 12 and 13. It says here, to prepare, we should back up to 11 maybe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, which incidentally aren't around today. Prophets in the sense that someone that brings forth God's word. But I mean, there's no new prophecy is what I'm saying. It's all here in the book. Now, there is someone that can expound on what's already here, but there's no new prophecy today. And apostles, limited time deal. Those days have passed on. However, the other half is some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. To what? To prepare God's people, again, so this whole notion of you got to be there, to be under the sound of his word, it doesn't return to him void, but it does if you don't hear it, if you're not engaged for works of service. Why? So what are we here for? Well, for works of service. Again, if I'm not here, how can I be of service? It's just as simple. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying what the Lord is saying to me. That's the plain and simple truth of it. So that the body of Christ, the body of Christ, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about us. We're talking about the church. Why? So that we built up until we all reach unity in the faith. So unity in another way is agreement. It's like, the Lord has shown himself and we're united we stand, divided we fall. Yeah, so that's Satan's one of tactics is always division. I cannot stand the way that person, dresses or whatever, and all the carpet at church, oh my goodness, it's like, give me a break. It's all that stuff doesn't matter at the end of the day. It just doesn't. It's the heart. It's always the heart. Unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So it's knowledge of knowing who the Son of God is and become what? Mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There ain't a building, a truck, an ocean, whatever big thing you want to conjure up in your mind that can contain the fullness of Christ. All right? So, having said that, that's something that we can work towards. The fullness of Christ is inexhaustible. Bring it on. I want to learn more. I want to be engaged. I want to be part of what Jesus Christ has headed up, the church universal, made up of the saints of God. You're either a saint or an ain't. You're a saint or an ain't. We're all saints. If you know the Lord Jesus, you're a saint. And I don't mean like St. Paul type thing. We're saints. We're God's children. Or you're an ain't, which I once was and what you once were. You were an ain't until the Lord got a hold of you. So I trust. So what's in it for me? What's in it for me? I don't have that mindset, but fortunately, the Lord addresses that. Where, of all places, Old Testament? Last book in the Old Testament is what? Somebody shout it out. Malachi, thank you. Let's go there, Malachi, as we wrap things up here this morning. You still remembering, Randy? What was it? Randy, you let me down here. Oh, Randy. Anyone else remember? Georgia Overdrive. See, Randy, this is why we have to be in church. See, we hold each other up, eh? Mm-hmm. This is totally unrehearsed, by the way. There's good examples here this morning. Last book in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Starting at, 3:16. There's a lot of good 3:16s in the Bible, by the way, if you ever take time to look them up. Yeah, Malachi 3:16. Then prior to this, just to set the stage, it's a time of people getting away from the Lord, if you will. Then those who feared the Lord. I hope that's you this morning. Fear of the Lord is what? The beginning. It's the beginning. That's right. Fear of the Lord is the beginning. And I don't mean in the sense that it's a reverential fear. It's fearing him for all the right reasons, if you will. Okay? So then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. Again, we're talking about church. How do we talk with each other? How do we socially interact? It's at church. They talk with each other. And the Lord listened and heard. And listen to this, folks. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. Listen to this. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. Isn't that cool? He's keeping track. Well, I already knew that, but it's just good to get it. I mean, isn't it great? He's keeping track. He's keeping track of our attendance. And again, it's not that there's this big checklist. It's not that. But he's keeping track of my attendance for all the right reasons. That's how he keeps track of stuff. He really does. So that's what's in it for us. So in a timely fashion, what is a Georgia Overdrive? Of all things, I heard it in this old trucking song. It's 6 days on the road, and I'm going to make it home tonight. And he goes on to say about how speedy he's getting home. And he says, I got 10 forward gears and a Georgia Overdrive. I said, what is a Georgia Overdrive? A Georgia Overdrive is when a truck driver kicks it into neutral going down a hill. That's Georgia Overdrive. Now, let me tell you something about Georgia Overdrive. Is, man, if you're going with 50 or 60,000 pounds and you're gaining a lot of momentum, what could potentially happen, boys and girls? Yeah, kaboom. Hey, I mean, it just happened on the highway last night. You hear in the news this morning? A police car got hit. Wham! A parked police car blocking so they couldn't get off the road. This is after a pedestrian got hit on 401. Like, don't venture out on 401, even if there is a quarter on the road. It's like one guy gets smoked, and then they're blocking the traffic, and the police car gets smoked. And it's like, are people not paying attention? Well, I'll tell you something. When I'm not paying attention, when I'm not listening to God's word, when I'm not bringing it in and making a conscious effort to do so, when I'm not engaged, when I don't have my nose in it, and I say this again and again because I say it to myself, there isn't any other way that God speaks to us. He speaks to us through his word, period. That's it.
He does it in various ways, but if I don't engage in any of them, whether it's listening, reading, however, singing, prayer, all those things, that praying scripture, that's how he speaks to me. That's how he speaks to you. And if I'm not listening, I'm basically kicking it into neutral. And I'm a runaway, and I'm out of control, and I'm going to do damage. I'm going to do damage. And as we read this morning about that priest that offered the sin offering on account of the sins that he had committed, which affected all the people. And it's another thing that hit me like a ton of bricks this week, is that I'm the priest in my family. And men, you are the priest in your family. And when I sin, when I willfully sin, when I orchestrate sin, because that's what I'm doing, I'm figuring this all out. I'm purposing to sin. I know better. You know better. But when I do that, see, I'm affecting others. First and foremost, I'm affecting my relationship. That's first and foremost. And then it spills out into my family. And then it spills out into my church family. Because we're all interconnected, or we're supposed to be. Again, so there's one last picture there. Can you go with the very last picture? One that I didn't show you. So that's the previous picture of the old church with me standing on the front step. This is the one corner of it. Okay, so you see the foundation stones? See them there? Do you know what that is below the foundation stones? Do you know what that is there? Anyway, hazard a guess? Yeah, who's rocking there? Who said that? Yeah, that's old Canada. That's the Canadian Shield. That church should be gone, and that rock will still be there. That rock, in representation of what we're talking about this morning, is God's Word. And as long as our church is anchored to God's Word, it ain't never going to shift, and it ain't never going to shut down. And who's responsible for that? Me and you. We got the keys to the place. It's you and me. We are the ones that are responsible for the future of this church, not four walls, us as individuals before Christ. And incidentally, we're all individuals before Christ. Each man or woman should give account for himself. There will be no finger pointing on that day. So what am I doing? What am I doing? How am I living my life in reflection of Christ's sacrifice? How am I doing? Is it worthy? Is it worthwhile? Am I affecting the lives of others? Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, had nothing. He had nothing. He didn't even have a pillow on which to lay his head. If there were anything in this world that was worthwhile having, Jesus Christ would have had it. He had nothing because he was looking towards a city with no walls. He was looking beyond. So, oh God, help me to look past the end of my nose and what's right in front of me, the stuff, the temptations that are yelling at me now that seem to demand the most of my attention, but the consequences of thereof last longer than that initial yelling, if you will. Now yells loudest. Get beyond that, David, and those that would hearken this morning. Let's look on down the road. Abram in the Old Testament left the first Hebrew, if you will, to a place where he had no idea he was going. And technically, on this earth, he never really got there. Think that one through. So we're all on a journey. We're all together. Let's keep her in gear. No Georgia overdrives, please. Someone's going to get hurt. So let's close off in prayer. Father, we thank you for these few minutes gathered around your word this morning. I trust, Father, that things accomplished as according to your will. And I pray, Father, for perhaps a group of people here. Oh my, it's just a think to contemplate, perhaps everyone, myself included, but even that individual, even if it's just one person that just need to hear this one little thing
and respect to your word. Father, may it find a resting place. May there be decisions, again, just based on what we've read and heard about this morning. Again, that your spirit will be free to move in the midst of your people, I pray. I thank you. I praise you in Jesus' name. And we thank you that you are the one and only God. Not only that, but you are the God that looks upon the heart. You are so different from us. You're not a man that you should lie. You look on the inward. We look on the outward. Forgive us, Father. Help us to look within so that we can properly look without. In Jesus' name, amen.